The doctor is taking the stairs.
Do you have a lapel mic?
Yeah, well, I have a ear-worn mic.
Oh, that's why.
It's about an hour to showtime, and things are almost ready at the St. John Theatre Company. Dr. Arya Sharma isn't leaving anything to chance. He checks out the sound system, the lighting.
In terms of the lapel mic,
yep.
And you have some light down on me?
Yep, I've got, I can show you if you want to see what it looks like.
Sure, just
Sharma has written hundreds of scientific articles. He gives about 200 talks and presentations a year to researchers and doctors around the world. He's professor and obesity chair at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. He's a big deal and an authoritative presence in the serious world of science and medicine. But this is something else entirely.
Are you guys excited?
I'm Pauline Dakin, and this is Atlantic Voice. One in four Canadian adults is obese. One in 10 children obese. Many more overweight. We know the statistics, we hear them all the time. But the problem isn't getting any better. It's also a tricky subject, a sensitive issue tied up with food security, money, self-esteem. Which makes it kind of startling to hear Dr. Sharma on stage going for the laughs.
When I use the word obesity, I can always sense that people cringe at the word. They don't like the word. So let me do this with you guys. What comes to mind when you think obesity? Just throw it at me. Come on.
Health.
Fat.
Discrimination.
What else?
Lazy.
Low self-esteem.
XXL.
What else?
No willpower.
What else? All right, so now you're bringing me down. This is all negative stuff. So is there anything that comes to mind when you think the word obesity that may be positive in any way?
Happy.
Jolly. Laughter. Santa. Very nice. Yep. Charlottetown, someone said you float better. Yeah, I guess you live on an island, that's important. Right?
Sharma recently brought his show to Charlottetown in St. John. You could say ground zero, since Atlantic Canada has the country's highest rates of obesity. He calls his routine, Don't Be a Yo-Yo, a reference to the experience of many overweight people. Repeated, grueling diets, almost always followed by regaining most, if not all, of the weight, sometimes more. So the idea here is to get people talking about what is, for so many, a secretly shameful problem.
When I graduated high school, I was a 350-pound kid, and life is not made for large people.
Marty Enochson has seen Sharma's show 5 times. He had bariatric surgery to reduce the size of his stomach. He used to weigh more than 500 pounds. He lost 150 of them after the surgery and has kept all but 25 off. I spoke to him from Edmonton, where he lives.
People stare, people look, people call you names. I think I've been called every name that possibly existed then. I've been called, and I've been called lots of new names too. So it's something that is prevalent. It's always been around. And then I had a mini stroke. I think it was 38 when I had the mini stroke. And I thought, I'm way too young to die. I have way too many things to look forward to. I have a young daughter. I have an older son. And I'd like to see them both walk down the aisle. And I'd love to experience life because I knew that I hadn't lived yet. So I went into the Weightwise program here in Edmonton that Dr. Sharma was a part of. He actually didn't start it here. It started, and then he came and he brought his amazing abilities and his knowledge about obesity with him, and turned it into what I believe a world-class program that assists large people in helping them to lose weight, helping them to understand why they are the way they are.
All of Arya Sharma's obesity patients could tell similarly sad stories. That's why he decided it was time to take on the stereotypes and the misconceptions about obesity in a different way, using humor.
humor lends itself to that because if you can laugh about something, you can actually talk about something. And I see this a lot with the audiences. If I can get them to come out and have a good time, and sometimes they don't know, you know, is he really being serious? Is that, you know, is that a joke or is that is that fact?
I sat down with Sharma just before his St. John show.
Well, most of what we think about someone who has a weight issue are really, really stereotypes. You know, we automatically assume this is somebody who's probably not not very smart about their health, not probably doesn't have willpower. It's probably somebody who's, eating junk food all the time, not moving. And those are the stereotypes. And when you look at the actual research on this, almost none of those stereotypes hold true. So much of this is counterintuitive. So much of this goes against what everybody believes. And so much of this goes against what is being talked about in the media. This notion that anybody can be any weight they want if they just try hard enough. That notion is so pervasive because so many people are making money with this, right? By selling stuff that simply does not work. There's no research that holds up for any of this stuff, and yet we keep telling people, you know what? If you just try hard enough, you can lose the weight and you can be whatever size you want. And if you're not the size you want to be, well, then that the only person you need to blame is you yourself. And we're not talking about the biology. We're not talking about the science. We're not talking about the reasons why people actually gain weight in the first place. We don't talk about genetics. We don't talk about mental health issues. We don't talk about all of those drivers, and we simply do not talk about the fact that once you have obesity, this becomes a lifelong problem that you're going to have to deal with.
What is it that you want people to know on this tour and otherwise about why people do become obese?
You know, for me, it's very much about getting people to understand the complexities of this issue. This is a complex issue, and for complex issues we do not have good solutions. I want people to understand that we simply do not have good treatments for obesity. All the treatments we have are pretty crappy or are treatments that, you know, that bear risks. So, you know, the best treatment we have right now for someone with severe obesity is bariatric surgery. Now, A, nobody wants to have surgery. B, you cannot do surgery on 6 million Canadians. That is never going to be an option. At the other end, we're talking diet and exercise. The best studies in the world that have been done on diet and exercise as a treatment for obesity get you a 3 to 4 to 5% weight loss on average, right? That's the result, right?
Because again, I look at my colleagues, I look at my cardiologists, the neurologists, what they have, you know, they got all this stuff, they got CT scanners, and they got PET machines, and they got 3D ultrasounds, and they got all kinds of fancy stuff. But what do I get? I get bathroom scale. It's up again. It's not fun, it's not exciting, And look at the treatments, right? Look at the treatments. So the cardiology guy, like, he's got, how many pills does he have that he can prescribe for blood pressure? How many pills does the guy have that he can give you to lower your cholesterol? Well, he's got a whole, he's got a whole pharmacy full of stuff that's going to help, control your diabetes and whatnot. What do I get? Nothing. Right? Eat less, move more. ELMM. My patients call that Nightmare on Elm Street. That's all I get.
You get about 20-25% weight loss with surgery. You get 5% with diet and exercise. If you have weight to lose in between, which means if you're looking at, I need 10% weight loss or 15% weight loss, so it's not enough to require surgery, but it's more than I can expect to get with diet and exercise, well, there's no treatment option for you. We do not have those treatment options in Canada. Most people do not think of this, as there being this lack of treatment options. But that is the reality, because for most people, the amount of weight that they need to lose is in that range of saying, losing 5 pounds is not going to do it. I'm going to have to 10, 15, 20 pounds. I've tried before. I've been on diets. I've done the exercise. I've lost the weight. I put it back on. Now I go to my doctor and say, okay, what do you have that can help me? And the doctor has to honestly say, sorry, I have nothing.
In fact, all the diet books, diet pills, diet strategies, well, it's a multi-billion dollar business, and it's pretty much a waste of time and money in the long run, because you can lose the weight. The problem is keeping it off.
How many of you guys know somebody? No, let me ask you the first one. Let's make this personal. How many of you guys have actually lost weight before? Anybody lost weight before?
Well, this crowd knows.
Anybody put it back on? Wow, more people put it back on?
Sharma asks them to hum their assent. He doesn't want people to feel self-conscious raising their hands.
So this is not a rare problem. But I'm sure all of you guys know somebody who's lost weight and is keeping it off. Not very enthusiastic.
Sharma says quick fixes don't exist for what is a complex problem with a multitude of contributing factors. Eat less, move more, the doctors tell their patients. It just isn't realistic or helpful for many.
Let's start with the problem of overeating. So clearly, if I'm overeating, I'm consuming more calories than I need. And those extra calories, not in everybody, but in many of us, will actually just get converted to fat tissue, and then that's how you gain weight. The problem there is not so much describing the fact that this is overeating. The question there is really asking, well, what is the driver of overeating? Why does this person tend to overeat? That's where things get complicated. Now, is that just lack of knowledge? Right? I had no idea that there was, you know, I had no idea that chocolate had calories. I haven't met that person yet. Or are there other issues here? Or maybe the reason I'm eating the chocolate is because I feel better when I eat the chocolate, and the reason that I need the chocolate to feel better is because that is the way that I manage my, you know, my stress or my depression, okay? Or maybe this is people around me that are constantly, there's a lot of peer pressure, right? We are constantly surrounded by food. And there's a lot of pressure to eat. Like if you don't, and I joke about this on the show, I say, if you don't partake in those celebrations and eat, then you're not making a lot of friends there. It could be medications that you're on. A lot of the medications we used to treat for very common things, medications that are being used to treat allergies, medications that are being used to treat blood pressure, medications that are being used to treat depression, etc. I mean, a lot of these medications can actually make people overeat. And then there's life events, grief, trauma, pregnancies. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? There are all these different reasons that lead people to overconsume calories. And really, those are the reasons we need to be talking about. And then we know that there are genetic differences. I mean, you can take people, put them on exactly the same diet, or do the same calorie restriction or overfeeding, get them into the same exercise program, do the same bariatric surgery. One person is going to do well and lose weight, and one person is just, you know, is going to keep getting heavier. Those are genetic differences. We all handle our calories different. We all have different rates of metabolism, and they differ between people. Some people find it very easy to lose weight. They go on a diet, they drop the pounds instantly. Other people go on diets, and the weight hardly comes off. So those are the kind of complexities that I'm talking about. Those are the kind of things that you want to understand in your patient, and those are the kind of things that you want to start addressing. So it's not about giving people diet plans. It's not about giving people exercise prescription. You know, here are the exercises I need you to do. If you do those and try hard enough, you know, you'll drop those pounds. That does not happen in real life.
There are people who lose a lot of weight and keep it off. There's even a national registry of those people in the U.S. that researchers keep an eye on. And here's what they've found about what it takes to keep the pounds from coming back. Those successful losers eat an average of 1,400 calories a day. Well, there's not a lot of fun in that. They also burn an additional 400 calories a day. So a net caloric intake of 1,000 calories a day. Brutal. Bye-bye, apple pie. The really unfair part is that people reset their metabolism when they diet and lose a lot of weight. There's no going back to that idyllic 1,800 or 2,000 calories a day, says Sharma.
And that's the problem that you're up against, is your body trying to go back to whatever the highest rate was that you were. And we call that a set point. And we are starting to do a lot of research to understand what is going on and how does the set point reset itself and why is this only one direction? Why can you not reset your point down? And that's the problem with obesity, that this is a lifelong problem. Anybody who's struggling with their weight, I can promise them you're going to be struggling with your weight for the rest of your life. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. Sure, there are things you can do. But whatever it is that you do, you're going to have to keep doing.
Isn't it depressing? But wait, there's hope. Dr. Oz has the cure, right?
Because Dr. Oz has got the miracle cures. Like, I mean, the guy, since he's been doing a show there, somebody counted this, actually. He's had 16 miracle cures for obesity. 16. I don't even have one. He's got 16. Think about it. Right? And you know some of the stuff. Right? Raspberry ketones. Who's got those? Anybody try them? They don't even taste like raspberry. Poor tea. Green bean extract. Garcinia cambogia. Well, even the name sounds bogus. Right? But he's got all this stuff. I don't have that. And I wonder why not. Because you know what? I can come up with stuff for that. Just make it up. Bumbleberry benzenes. Cranberry carbons. Made in Canada, Saskatoon snake syrup.
The only proven treatment for obesity is surgery to reduce the size of the stomach. And there are risks and side effects, and still, some people regain at least some of the weight. So here we are in the middle of a serious health epidemic. What can the doctors tell us? Well, all fat isn't equal.
And even if it told me how much body fat you have, that wouldn't actually matter, because what we've learned about body fat is that it's not the amount of body fat, it's the kind of body fat, and it is pretty much like real estate. It's all location, location, location. That's the fat that causes the problem. That's not a nice neighborhood. That's where you get into trouble. Right. The scale does not tell me where your fat is.
So you're commonly described as the foremost expert on obesity in the country. You've published more than 300 papers in medical journals. Why was that not enough in terms of getting your message out? Why take a show on the road?
People call me the medical expert on obesity, and I find that scary because I have absolutely no formal training in obesity at all. When you go to medical school, and when I went to medical school, the training in obesity was nothing. I might have gotten half an hour of teaching on obesity. So most of the stuff, and I say this on the show, most of the stuff I make up as I go along. I've done a lot of the research. I know most of the colleagues who've done most of the research that's in this field, and there's an explosion of research in this area. Finally, we're starting to understand, some of the things that I've just talked about. But a lot of that information has not found its way into the public domain and hasn't even found its way into the professional domain. I mean, right here in St. John this morning, I was speaking to nurses. They've all been to nursing school. You would expect that someone who's gone to nursing school would understand obesity. They'd be the first to admit to say, you know what, the stuff we heard this morning from you, Dr. Sharma, is the first time that we've actually heard someone speak on obesity like this. And some of them have been practicing nursing for the last 20 years, and they have never been to a talk on obesity. We are still not teaching even the basics and the fundamentals of obesity. We're not teaching the physiology. We're not teaching the genetics. We're not teaching the, the treatment options. We are still licensing family doctors to practice family medicine in this country without any of them having spent one single day in a bariatric clinic where they've actually had to deal with and treat and manage obesity. It's not a requirement. We would not be licensing them if they had not spent a day or you would say months managing people with diabetes or high blood pressure or asthma or chronic disease or whatever the problem is. You would expect that of someone. We are still not making it mandatory that health professionals in this country have at least a rudimentary fundamental understanding of the basic issues related to weight management, and that includes a good understanding of the biology of appetite, hunger, satiety, energy metabolism, and how all of these things link to disease. It is still not a requirement.
But you could be out visiting medical schools and lecturing to future doctors, and instead you're setting up in theaters and talking to regular people. Why?
Well, I think regular people are the people who need to know this information. I mean, this information can be known by the doctors. I do a lot of talk. I probably give 200 talks a year to professional audiences. I do that all the time, and I've been doing that for years. I think the reason that you want to take some of this stuff out to the people on the street who really have the problem and live with the problem every day is because, first of all, they need to understand themselves that this is a complex problem. Because a lot of these people are blaming themselves. They're saying, I must be the only idiot on the planet who has this problem because everybody else tells me this is so simple. It's not so simple, and they need to hear that. They also need to hear that people are out there working on solutions. And that the solutions we have right now are crappy solutions, right? They're not the best solutions that we want. A lot of people don't get this. When I tell people I do obesity research, a lot of people say, well, what exactly are you researching? I mean, are you counting the number of hamburgers that people eat, or what exactly is your research? And then I have to explain that, you know, there's so much about obesity that we simply do not understand. You know, I think when you go out to the public and you tell them things that they're interested in and that they are willing to learn about and that can change their attitude, that creates support, not just for the people who are living with the problem, but also support, for example, for funding research in this issue, right? And starting to create those and in fact, demanding the resources. You know, if obesity is a health problem, well, then our health system should be providing, you know, treatments and care and whatever health systems provide. That has to come by public demand. And so you have to actually inform the public and tell them, listen, guys, this is what this is about. And you deserve as much help and care as people who have any other condition.
That simple message meant a lot to Marty Enochson. Remember him, the man from Edmonton who used to weigh more than 500 pounds. He had bariatric surgery, but now he has to keep the weight off.
What Dr. Sharma had said that has been so helpful to me was that I had known it already, but to hear him say it, to hear him say eat less, move more doesn't work, when every other doctor in the world that I've ever seen has said eat less, move more. You know, I use as an example, a year ago, just next week, I ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. And I was taken by ambulance to the hospital because I couldn't breathe. And the doctor in the ER said to me that you have pneumonia because you're obese. And I said, you're kidding me, right? And he said, no, you're obese and you have pneumonia because of it. I said, so only fat people get pneumonia? You're kidding me, right? I'm here because I have pneumonia, not because I'm obese. You have no idea what my journey has been. All he did was look at me and see a 375-pound man. He has no idea what my journey was. He has no idea that I started this journey at 505 pounds. I've lost, you know, 135 pounds by that time, and that I'm actually quite healthy. I just happened to catch pneumonia. I didn't take care of a cold. I didn't get pneumonia because I was fat, but unfortunately, my discharge report says that the first problem I had was that I was obese, and then the second problem was that I had pneumonia. It's like, how can he's teaching, very judgmental, and that's a medical professional. So to have Dr. Sharma, who is, to me, the leading person, at least in Canada, probably throughout the world, I think he's pretty cutting edge, that he's there saying that it's so much more than just eat less, move more. And so, you know, working with Dr. Sharma over the course of the last couple of years and helping to educate the medical profession that it is so much more than just eat less, move more. That's probably the most profound lesson I took from Dr. Sharma.
Will this change how you interact or consult with your patients with obesity issues?
Dr. John Dornan is in the audience here in St. John.
Not all what we heard tonight was easy or healthy, or I'm sorry, easier to apply. And I think how can I incorporate that in the way that I speak with patients and coach patients? And we have a team of a dietitian and a physiotherapist and a nurse. And how can we incorporate these messages in a way that helps people one at a time better?
What do you take away as the hopeful part from this?
Well, there's two things. First of all, understanding it more. And I think we are understanding it more, not fully, but more than we did a decade ago. A decade ago was just stop eating. Now we know that there's a set point. So understanding it is a message today. The second part is that I think there's hope, and I think Dr. Sharma speaks about the need to do research. There has to be better treatments. We have more treatments today than we did, but we don't have near as many as we need.
So the message? Diet and exercise alone don't always work. People have many reasons why they're overweight. Genetics, medications, psychological issues, even the bugs that live in our gut can play a role. So it's something most struggle with all their lives. But can comedy make a dent in a serious epidemic?
And then obviously this, you know, this whole idea of a professor going out and doing comedy apparently is very appealing to the media, because we've got a lot of media attention and I probably wouldn't be doing this interview if I was not doing the show. So that is kind of a nice bonus that comes on top of everything, that you get to speak to a lot of people, you know, about the things that I'm passionate about, and that is, you know, trying to get a better understanding of obesity and the problem that it actually is for a lot of people. Because in the end, obesity is not a funny thing. It's not a laughing matter. We're talking about a very serious health issue that affects the lives of millions of Canadians. But having said that, that's no reason not to have fun with this.
Thanks so much for coming out. I hope you had a good time. If you did enjoy it, then let people know. And I hope
Arya Sharma hopes at least that his audiences will feel empowered enough to demand better care, more research, more treatments, and more respect.
If you did like the show, don't tell anyone.
I'm Pauline Dakin, and this is Atlantic Voice on CBC Radio 1, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on our show, especially if you've struggled with weight loss and have turned to the medical community for help. What kind of response did you get, and what, if anything, made the difference? Call us at 1-800-565-5463 or email us at atlanticvoice@cbc.ca. By the way, several of you have called to say you're having trouble leaving comments on our website, and we are looking into that issue. We hope to have it fixed shortly. In the meantime, Facebook is a great way to reach us. Just look for Atlantic Voice, like us, and leave us a message there. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. I'll be away next week, but you can join guest host Harry Forrestal for a look at how governments in this region are trying to balance economic growth with environmental concerns. Until then, for Christina Harnett and me, thanks for listening.